Amen. Turn with me tonight there in the Old Testament, right past Ezekiel, and you'll find Daniel. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 12, or actually the remainder of chapter 11 and chapter 12 tonight. Daniel chapter 11, and we're going to be beginning, down around verse 36 in just a moment. But tonight, as we conclude this incredible book of, it has been, what a study. This is one of the most difficult books, I believe, in the Old Testament to teach. I'm actually looking forward to the final 12 books of the Bible, which we call the Minor Prophets, and we'll be beginning Hosea very soon. But we left off last time with the Persians and the Greeks and so forth, verses 1 through 35 there in the 11th chapter of Daniel. And it was if you remember, a pre-written history. It was unbelievable. It gave minute detail of all the kings and the things that were going to be happening. Now, we know that that portion of Scripture, verses 1 through 35, they have been fulfilled. That history has now ended in that area. But now the prophetic, or prophecy, now begins in verse 36. We're going to be introduced to a new king. Now, there are those that try to say that this king is Herod the Great. There's no way, okay? And others try to say that this is a continuation of chapter 11, verse 31 through 36, when we start talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. We know that that's not true, because Antiochus was, remember, the king of the north, and he's going to be mentioned again. And so this king here is none other than the Antichrist. And so we're going to be talking about him tonight, beginning in verse 36. Look what's the vision. Now, remember, the angel's given Daniel the vision. It's still continuing from chapter 10 all the way to chapter 12. And he says in verse 36, the angel continues, and he says, "Then the king shall do according to his own will." In other words, he's going to do just as he pleases. No one is going to be able to stop him. And look what this king's going to do. "He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies," in other words, horrible, monstrous things against our Lord, against our God in heaven, against the God of gods, "and he shall prosper." In other words, he's going to be successful. We know the Antichrist is going to be successful when? Only in the first 3.5 years, the 7 years, 70th week of Daniel, the first, that 7 year period of time, he's going to be very successful in the first 3.5 years. And then it says he shall prosper till the wrath, that's the outpouring of God's wrath, has been accomplished or finished, for what has been determined shall be done. In other words, it's going to take place. Who is this king? We know who he is. We've been studying there in Thessalonians. He is the man of sin. He is the son of perdition. He is a man that is coming, maybe alive right now on this planet. And sin has absolute dominion over him. Matter of fact, as I said when we studied Thessalonians, he lives and breathes to sin. He is the man of sin. It's his nourishment. He's the Antichrist, and he is going to, as it said there, exalt and magnify himself above every god. What does that mean? That means that he is going to demand total worship from every woman, every man, every child, regardless of faith. Doesn't matter if you're the person is a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Christian or an agnostic or an atheist. He is going to magnify and exalt himself above everything that is God, meaning our God in heaven. Let me read the scripture from 2 Thessalonians 2:4 to you again, because this scripture goes with it. It says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God," that's the Antichrist, "every faith, every religion," and he says, "and anything that is worshipped." In other words, if a person worships angels or worships those little crystals that hang on the wind of the car, you know, you see them sometimes when the sun shines on them. Doesn't matter if they hug trees, whatever it might be, whatever they worship. If they worship self or money or power, it says, no, everything that is worshiped, he's going to do something. Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, he's going to sit as God. In other words, he's going to enthrone himself as the absolute God in the temple. That's the temple there in Jerusalem. showing himself that he is God. Amazing. This man of sin that's coming, this charismatic ruler, this political genius, this military genius, this incredible orator. He is the creator of every false religion that's ever been known to man. And he's going to demand worship from everyone. And you know what's amazing? It says in Revelation 13:8 that all who dwell on the earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will worship the devil, the Antichrist. You know, that's a frightening thought, is it not? I don't know when people say, when they talk about the day of the Lord or the Great Tribulation, and they say the church is going to go through the Great Tribulation period. I don't know about you, but the Bible is so clear to me. God has saved us from the wrath to come. Whose wrath is going to be poured out on this planet? God's wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. Folks, we could be gone tonight, and we might be gone tonight. It says in verse 37 of Daniel 11 about this king that's coming. This is all future. This is all prophecy. This is at the end of time. It says that he shall regard neither the God of his fathers. Now, what does that mean? Let's stop right there. It means that he's not going to, he'll set aside the worship of his ancestors. And because of that, many people believe that the Antichrist is going to be Jewish. But how can the Antichrist be Jewish when it says that he's coming out of, in Revelation 13, the Gentile nations? He's going to be the leader of the European Union. He's probably going to be a Gentile. However, maybe he might be a Jew. We're not for sure. It says that he'll not, this king that's coming, it says that he'll what? Nor have or nor desire the desire of women. Now, some people teach today that this means that he's going to be celibate, or that the Antichrist that's coming is going to be homosexual. I don't necessarily believe that's what that says. But you see, here's what happens. When you start dealing with prophecy, you don't really know, do you? See, and that's why it's very dangerous to try to add to Scripture. You can certainly say what you feel. But I do know when it talks about the desire of women, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it's speaking of the desire of a Hebrew woman. What was the desire of every Hebrew woman? That the Messiah would come through her. Amen? So I'm standing probably for some reason how that all fits together. We just don't really know. But one thing is for sure. It says in verse 38, in their place, in other words, the God of his ancestors and all the other things that he has and does, look what's going to happen. He shall honor a God of fortresses, military strength. He's going to be, as I just said, a tremendous military genius. It says, who can make war with the beast? There's no one like him. But you know, it was granted to him to overcome the saints. Amen? It was granted to him to overcome those, rather, in the Great Tribulation period. So he's going to be the false god of power, if you will, and a god which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. So he's into the god of materialism as well. And thus he shall act, or literally attack or take action, against the strongest fortress with a foreign god. Now, what God is going to empower, give energy to the Antichrist? Satan. He's the little god. He's the little g, the god of this world, the prince that's here, it says. He's the power of the air. He says, so Satan's the one that's going to give him power, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them, those who follow the Antichrist, okay? He shall cause them to rule over many, and look what he's going to do, and divide the land for reward, or divide the land for gain, meaning those who worship him, those who follow him. Oh, he's going to bless them. It's an unholy blessing, but he's going to bless them. But what land is he talking about? He's going to be this dictatorship, the EU, the leader of the European Union. He comes out of there, who's going to be a worldwide dictator. Is he talking about the land all over the world, or is he talking about the land of Israel? I don't know. But I do know this. He is going to control the economy like never before. And we are already, our nation and this world is already prepared for that. Remember what it says about the Antichrist in Revelation 13, 16? Let me read it to you. It says, he causes all, that's everyone, great, small, rich, poor, free, slave. That means every class of people to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. What's the purpose? Well, it's complete economic control. Listen to what it says in verse 17 of Revelation 13. And no one may buy or sell except who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Isn't that amazing? You're going to have a number to buy or sell anything. You're going to have a great debit card. Amen? You know, I'm going to say something here, and I don't want you to, please don't think I'm putting anyone under the law. I don't understand Twitter or Facebook, or I forgot the others. What was it? MySpace. I don't want anyone to invade MySpace. I don't want a picture of me. I don't want my name out there. I don't want anyone to know what I did today or I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't want anyone to know that I'm visiting someplace and I'm typing it in and I shoot a little picture. I don't want anyone to know that. I don't even like to go online. I'm thinking about coming up with a fictitious name. BadBilly.com, okay? All right, let's continue here. Look at verse 40. Now, at the time of the what? Okay, it's very important. At the time of the end. Now, that's the second half of the great tribulation period, which is the second coming of Christ when the Lord comes at the second half, right? Okay, now watch this. At the time of the end, the king of the south, remember that's Egypt from last week's study, shall attack him, and the Antichrist, in other words, he's going to come against the world dictator, and the king of the north. Now, the king of the north, remember, was Syria. That was Antiochus Epiphanes. But the king of the north here, that's why I say it can't be the Antichrist. This is a new king. The king of the north here, I don't believe, is speaking of Syria and Turkey and Babylon and Iraq or all that area that he took over last time in the history, then we went through the history of what occurred on planet Earth, okay? I believe personally that the king of the north now is referring to Russia, okay? And so this king of the north here is going to come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen and many ships. And he, meaning the Antichrist and his army, shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land. We know the glorious land is Israel, okay? And I believe he's probably going to remain there at that part of the tribulation period. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. Now those, remember, were the ancient enemies of Israel. Now he shall stretch out his hand against the countries and the land of Egypt. They're not going to get away with it. They're not going to escape. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. What does that mean? What is everything that has to do with Egypt? I mean, did you hear today about King Tutankhamun, whatever his name is? How he died? It was a little boy, remember, the king, and they figured it out. He had, I forgot what he had, but he had a broken leg and malaria. I think he died of malaria. They finally figured out but we're talking about Egypt, right? Well, what kind of treasure does Egypt have? What is going to be there? You know, I look at that and I go, Lord, why aren't you giving us a little bit more information? It says, power, he's going to have all the power of the treasure over gold and silver and the precious things of Egypt. Think of all the precious treasure that Egypt truly holds. Well, whatever is there, he's going to have all of it to himself. And also the Libyans, the Ethiopians, that's the Africa area, okay, shall follow at his heels. In other words, going to be in submission to him. Now look what happens. But news from the east, now that's the Orient, News from the east and the north, Russia, shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. Now, this news that troubles him from the Orient, I believe this probably refers to Revelation 9:16 and Revelation 16. It's the invasion. Remember, it says the 200 million man army that crosses over the Euphrates, which has been dried up. Perhaps that's what this is referring to. And he says in verse 45 that the Antichrist shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas. Now, that's the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. And the glorious holy mountain, that's Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and this is a good part, no one will help him. Isn't that glorious? You know, he needs to read that scripture, doesn't he? No one is going to help him, nor can anyone help him, because Jesus is coming. Amen. And this is at that second coming when the lawless one is going to be revealed, it says in Thessalonians, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Remember when Jesus comes, Jesus is the stone in Daniel chapter 2 remember Nebuchadnezzar's image there, and at his feet was what? The toes of iron and mingled with clay, and then the stone, which is Jesus the Messiah, is going to hit that, and it's just going to crumble and fall all apart. Now, verses 1 through 4 now still belong in chapter 11. Now watch this. And at that time, Michael shall stand up. He's going to arise. The great prince. Now, you know, Michael's the angel, okay? To stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Who are the sons of your people? It's Israel. Israel. Don't let anyone put the church there. It's not, the church is not even mentioned. This is talking about Israel. Everything to do with this is talking about, from chapter 10 to chapter 12, everything has to do with Israel. And it says, there shall be a time of trouble such as that never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time, your people, meaning Israel, will be delivered. Isn't that wonderful? The ones who refused the mark in the great tribulation period, the ones that were martyred, perhaps, or the ones that refused to worship the beast, the Antichrist, everyone who is found written in the book. Are you in the book? Amen. We're in the book, aren't we? The book of the redeemed. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that our names are written in heaven tonight? I'll tell you something. If your name is written in heaven, do you think God can take care of whatever you're going through this week or what you're going to go through next week? You know, sometimes since we're talking about prophecy, we kind of, you know, get away from speaking into people's heart and talking to them about their needs being met and how God is. Listen, God's in control. He's on the throne. Look for an open door in your life. Whatever you're going through, look for an open door. God is there to open a door for you. He loves you. You are His people. Amen? And so we look at this and it says, at that time, what time is He talking about? He's talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. Oh, gosh. He's talking about the great tribulation period. It says at that time, Michael, the archangel, what is he going to do? Archangel, he's going to arise in defense of the nation of Israel, not the church, Israel. Listen, the great tribulation period cannot begin until, number one, the church is removed. Amen? All right, the church has to be removed before that ever occurs. We could be gone tonight, you don't know. But something else must occur before the great tribulation can begin. The falling away must occur, the falling away from the truth of God's word. Now, that's already happening. The other thing that must happen then after the falling away, it says in the Bible, it says that the man of sin must be revealed, unveiled. Well, the world will know who he is. But they won't know that he is a horrible person. He comes as a man of peace, remember? With all these lying promises and signs and wonders and so forth. But once the church is gone, once the man of sin is revealed, the falling away, the man of sin is revealed, then something else is going to occur. The restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit, is going to be taken out of the way. Now listen, taken out of the way means that he just withdraws. It doesn't mean he's taken out of the earth or anything like that, because people are going to be saved during the great tribulation period. When the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, when he moves back, all hell is going to come against this planet. Horrible, horrible time. The day of the Lord. You don't want to be there. Satan is going to attempt to exterminate every son and every daughter of Abraham, the Jews. He hates them. It's going to be a time of unimaginable suffering. It's going to be a time in the day of the Lord, the great tribulation period. It's going to be a time when men will beg to die. It's going to be a time when the demons from the abuso, the abyss, the bottomless pit, they're going to come up. They're going to attack people. It's going to be horrible, a horrible, horrible time of suffering never before experienced. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way in Matthew 24:21. He said, then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of this world unto this time, nor shall ever be. The great tribulation period, the day of the Lord, that 7 year, the 70th week of Daniel. It says in verse 2, the angel continued to talk to Daniel. He says, and many of those who die, or many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, look what's going to happen to them. They're going to awake. In other words, speaking, that's the resurrection for them. Some to everlasting life. That's the believing Jews, okay? And some to shame and everlasting contempt. You need to write down Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, I believe. It starts right there about this resurrection. And then read that all the way down. Because some are going to be raised to, to everlasting life. Praise the Lord for that. But then some, it says, are going to be raised, what? To shame and everlasting contempt. The ones that are raised to everlasting life, there's 1,000 years in between them, okay? That's when you get down to Revelation chapter 20 at that great white throne judgment. Oh, what a horrible time that is going to be for those who do not know the Lord. Imagine, if you will, what a horrible thought to be raised from the dead only to experience shame and everlasting contempt. They're not raised for salvation. They're raised for damnation. You will witness that event, church. You're going to come back to this planet with the Lord. You will witness that verse coming to life right before your very eyes. And then it says, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There is only one righteousness that's acceptable to the Lord. Amen. And that's the righteousness of Christ. I pray tonight when we celebrate communion that you remember that Christ's perfect righteousness, his sinless record, has been imputed to your account. Amen. Oh, what a glorious truth that is, to know that when God looks at me, when God looks at you, he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ because we are in him. Amen? What a wonderful thing. And so it says here, they're going to shine. In other words, the Jews, I tell you, it's going to be wonderful. They're going to shine. It says, like the heavens are going to glow like stars. And look how long it's going to last there. It says, like stars. They're not going to be stars, but like the stars, the shining. Forever and ever. That's all eternity. What a reward that is going to be. But you, Daniel, shut up the words. Seal the book. And then he tells us how long it's going to be sealed. Until the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall increase. Now listen. What kind of knowledge is the angel who's speaking to Daniel talking about? Is he talking about the internet? Is he talking about driving that we're going to have nice Corvettes to drive? No, listen, to know your text, always read your context. Amen? So when we look at this, yes, knowledge has certainly increased since Daniel penned this. Incredible knowledge. But the knowledge here in context refers to the knowledge that pertains to these prophecies. They've increased, okay? Now, many are running to and fro today, and I thank God. You know why? Because we are studying Bible prophecy like never before. Like never before. Matter of fact, the last 30 years, it has literally exploded. People studying, we now have prophecy conferences. We just had one here a couple of years back. And it says that in the time of the end, it says that many are going to start investigating the scriptures concerning prophecy and studying them out. Now, but it's sealed till the time of the end. We don't understand all of it. But I tell you what we do know. Whoever goes through the tribulation period, they will know the day that the Lord is coming. We don't know that right now, do we? But if you're going through the tribulation period, you know that in Matthew 24:15, it talks about when the abomination makes desolate, whenever the Antichrist sets up that image in the temple, we know from that point how many days are left? 3.5 years. We know the Lord is coming. But look what's going to happen here. Now watch this. It says here that the vision is now over, okay? It says, then I, Daniel, I looked, and there stood two others. In other words, two other angels. Now, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. Can I ask you a question? Doesn't that drive you crazy? I tell you, I don't. You know, when I study this stuff out, I go, Lord, why did you tell us that and not tell us why? Why was there an angel? That's a Tigris River. That's where the vision began back in chapter 10. There's an angel on one side of the river. There's an angel on the other side of the river. And I'm going, why? What is that? And the Lord says, none of your business. You know, I'm just telling you what was going on. And then it says, and then one angel and one said to the man clothed in linen. Now, who is that? He's back on the scene. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. That's a theophany. It's a pre-incarnate Christ. It says, he's there now all of a sudden. So this one angel said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? In other words, how long will it be before these astonishing things be fulfilled? Now look what happened. And then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven. Look what he did. He swore by him who lives forever. God is swearing by himself because there is no one greater than God. Amen. He says, how long is it going to be? I'll tell you. It shall be for a time, times, and a half time. Now we know what that is. That's 3.5 years. And when the power of the holy people, that's Israel, has been completely shattered, what does that mean? Does that mean when they see him whom they have pierced, the Jews, when they see that the Messiah that they rejected and their hearts are broken and they turn and they repent, when their final rebellion is finally over? I don't know. I just know it says, when his holy people have been completely shattered, it says, all these things shall be finished. In other words, Daniel, all these prophecies, chapter 10 through chapter 12, they will finally come to fruition. And he says, and although I heard, now look what Daniel says, I love this scripture. He says, although I heard, I did not understand. Would you underline that in your Bible? Doesn't that make you feel better? No, I asked you last Wednesday night, I said, do you think Daniel understood all of this? And I heard a lot of people, yes, of course. I said, no, he didn't. He did. He goes, he did. Listen, how would you, do you know when God shows you something and you know it's God, but maybe you don't understand all of it. And later on, you finally get it. But I look at this and I'm going to say, Lord, you know, I don't understand it. You know what I want to encourage you to do? I want you to go online and pull up commentaries. Pull up good commentaries. And you got to listen, you know commentaries are written by man, don't you? Huh? Yeah, they're not written by God. You have to be careful. A lot of commentaries today need to be burned. No, it's the truth. They need to be burned. They shouldn't even be in print. It's horrible. Listen, let the Bible answer the Bible. Amen? But the fact of the matter is, if you really study this out, especially where we're going right now, do you know that there are so many different interpretations that I don't even think anyone should look at a commentary when it comes to these? He says, I don't understand it. I've heard everything and I still don't get it. I don't understand what I've seen. I don't even understand what I've heard. Then I said, Daniel said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? You know, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Yes. Do you know what it's going to be like? What's it really going to be like? Well, yeah, like Eden. But what, have you ever been to Eden? Well, you don't know what it's going to be like, do you? You know, whenever the earth is restored like it was in the days of Eden, listen to me. We see a blue sky today and we think, that's beautiful. And we look through all the pollution and the junk and the space debris that's falling down and all of that. And we think, oh, isn't that gorgeous, that sunset? No, listen, we've never really seen a true sunset. We've never really seen a true sun. We've never walked on real green grass before. No, we've walked on grass, but not the grass of the millennium. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, you ever notice about, you know, you start thinking about trying to understand the thing that's in Scripture and you look at the Bible and you go and look up all the names from Genesis all the way to Revelation when it comes to the Antichrist or the devil. You know how many names there are? And all the, I mean, just study it out and you go, God, why did you give us so many names? I'll tell you why. He's trying to say, did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? I mean, he's the destroyer, he's the tempter, he's the serpent, he's the angel of light. Do you understand what I mean? Go through the whole thing. Prince of darkness, prince of disobedience, the adversary, Apollyon. What is God trying to teach us that we really don't understand, do we? And when we start studying prophecy, you must be very, very careful. Don't add to Scripture. You know what? There's nothing wrong with a person, a Christian, or even a Bible teacher to say, I don't know what it means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's coming. I just know what God said is going to happen. So what does God say? He says, the angel said to Daniel, he said, hey, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. They're closed up and sealed. For how long? Watch this. Till the time of the end. That's the second half of the tribulation period. Now, many, meaning the Jews, many of those who turn to Christ in the great tribulation, many will be purified. They're going to be made white. They're going to be refined, meaning those who turn to the Lord. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Now, look what happens. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. You know, that's even true today. Those that do not know the Lord, those that are not born again, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit, nor can he, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. You understand? You have to, you know, before you were born again, you might have read the Bible and you went, okay, I read it, but I didn't get it. Then you're born again, you read the Bible, and you go, oh, it's alive. It's true. It's real. Why? You're born again. The Holy Spirit now resides in your heart. He's teaching you. So here, the wicked and all this, the wicked, they're not understand, but the wise, they're going to understand. You know, one day it's going to be all over. What a glorious thought. All of the sin and all of the horror of living and the starvation and the wars and rumors of wars. One day, just think, there'll not be one wicked person left on this planet. I want everyone to be in heaven, don't you? But it says that the wicked, those, you know, back, or rather during the Great Tribulation period, they know who's bringing these curses and the plagues upon them on this planet, but they won't repent. They refuse to repent. They love darkness. They don't want anything to do with God. They really believe, and Satan even believes, that he can overcome the Lord. That's how blind he is. The satanic world system, one day, it's going to be no more. The world is going to be full of righteousness and peace and God's glory. And then we're going to go off into the eternal state one day and be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. We're going to go to a place where there'll be no more night, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. That's our future. That's what we have to look forward to. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Now, we know what Jesus told us in Matthew 24:15. When you see the abomination that makes desolation, when the Antichrist puts his image in the Holy of Holies, it says, what did Jesus tell the people in Israel to do? He said, run for the hills. It's going to be, that is going to be a horrible time. That's the last half of the Great Tribulation period. But he says here, he says 1,290 days. Well, that's 30 extra days, because 3.5 years would be the last part of the 70th week of Daniel, or the 7-year tribulation period. And so we have 30 days added on to it. Why? I mean, what is the additional 30 days for? Would you like me to tell you? God didn't tell us, so I can't tell you. Now, again, you can have, there are so many and well-meaning Bible teachers, and they all have their thoughts on this. And you know, here's the thing, I don't really know. People say, well, it's going to take 30 days to cleanse the temple. Well, the millennial temple is going to be built, okay? So I can't go for that. It's going to take 30 days to clean up planet Earth. I don't think that the Lord's going to, He can create the whole world in 6, hey? The whole universe. We're talking about God here, okay? So we don't know, and let's just leave it right there. That's the way I look at it. There's going to be 30 extra days for something. I don't know what. And I don't really care. But I know one day, guess what? We will know. And then now it really gets confusing. He says in verse 12, and blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days. Now we're adding an additional 45 days, or 45 plus a 30, 75 days, beyond all the 3.5 years. What is that for? Oh, I know. Do you? It's the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat judgment. Who's going to enter the millennial kingdom? Maybe. I don't really know. I know what it is. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. There's no explanation that's given here except this. You ready for it? Blessed is he who waits. And that's where I'm going to stand. I'm going to leave it right there. He says in verse 13, but you, talking to Daniel now, go your way, Daniel. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving the Lord. Stay the course. Keep fighting for the faith. Keep going. Daniel's in his 90s now. Remember, he was taken captive as a 16-year-old boy. He's been in Babylon all this time. And he's about 90-some-odd years of age. Loves the Lord with all of his heart. He says, oh, Daniel, just go your way now. Keep doing what you're doing till the end. Why? Well, for you shall rest. In other words, Daniel, you're going to die. But that's not a bad thing, because when you die, you go to heaven. Amen? And you will arise, Daniel. That's in the resurrection. You're going to rise again. Your soul went to be with the Lord, yes, but your old body is gone to be into the dust of the earth. Well, you're going to get a brand new body one day. And then to your inheritance as in the end of the days. So go your way, Daniel. A better day is coming. Now listen to me. Daniel's God is our God. Amen. I look at this and I say, oh Lord, you're still on this throne. You'll always be on the throne. And if one thing that Daniel has taught us is this, that history is his story. He's in control. God's the Alpha, the Omega. He knows everything. No one can stop him. No denomination, no false theology, nothing. Time is short. We don't know if we're going to leave tonight or tomorrow. We don't know when the Lord is going to call the church home. We're going to meet him in the air. It may be tonight. It may be tomorrow. I pray it's in our lifetime. Not that I want to escape and get away from this world. I want to see as many people come to Christ as possible. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something to be said about having a brand new body. There's something to be said about being with the Lord, the one who has saved you, the one who has redeemed you. You see, the Bible's, and I know you know this, but the Bible is not a fairy tale. It's real. Daniel was real. Daniel really was in the lion's den. Daniel really did see the vision of the Christ. Daniel really did talk to angels. Hello? We talk like that today, and people say, we need to lock you up. No. He's our God, and time is short. And I tell you, the last week of Daniel, we're living right now in that wonderful age of grace when God is calling people into His kingdom, telling people to repent, turn to Him, live for Him, serve Him. You have a glorious reward that is awaiting you in heaven. There's nothing on earth that should hold our eye. Amen? There's nothing here. It's all going to pass. It's all going to perish. Jesus is coming. Let's pray and we'll pass out communion, shall we? Father, we praise You tonight. We thank You for this study in Daniel. Lord, so many things we don't know, and that's okay. But we're looking to You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, forgive us tonight. As we look to You, as we prepare our hearts for communion, and Lord, just bless this time. Bless us as a family tonight. Be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.